This morning, I want to share a truth with you that totally explains why Jesus Christ came to earth, ended up going to the cross, rising from the dead, pouring out his Holy Spirit, all of those things that God was in the process of doing for hundreds of years, bringing things to a culmination of that moment, and now having that happen, we find ourselves living on the other side of that. I want to share that. I want to share the reason with you in three words. They're actually not big words at all, but three words that help define why all that took place. Here they are. God needs you. Can you say that with me? God needs you. God needs you. All of us here today have a variety of things in common. But one of the things that all of us, without a doubt, have in common in this room is we're all needy people. We are needy people. It shows up in a variety of different ways. There are things that we need physically, right? Like some of you in just a little while here are going to need some more food, right? This morning, you needed a warm house. There are things in the physical realm that you and I need because we are a needy people. There are also things inside of us that are equally needy places. For example, every one of us in here needs to be loved. We need to feel loved. All of us in here this morning has this internal need to be needed, wanted, cared about, useful. All of us have that soul need, that internal need inside of us. And of course, there's what I believe are spiritual needs that each one of us have. A lot of times you'll hear it talked about in this way, that there's a hole inside of you that only God can fill. People try to fill it with all kinds of things, but truly the only way that hole can be satisfied is through a relationship with God. But no matter whether you look at the physical, you look at the soulish realm, or you look at the spiritual realm, you still come back to the place of saying, we are a needy people. Well, I've got some really good news for you this morning. God needs you. Now, let me try to explain to you very briefly how one goes about preparing a public presentation. Whenever you're asked to speak publicly, like next Saturday, I'm going to be speaking at a church over by Lake Erie. And the first question I ask the gentleman who's asking me to speak is, what would you like me to talk on? Right? That's kind of the first step. Is there anything you want me to talk on? In this case, I'm talking on leadership. So anyways, you get your subject matter, you get your topic, if you will, and usually you want to put some kind of name to it. You want to put some kind of title to it because you want people walking away with something ringing in their minds, something ringing in their hearts, even if they're only rings till they get to the end of the door, out the door. You want something ringing in their hearts. And then after you've done that, after you've figured out what it is that your subject matter is going to be, and after you've come up with a way of saying that, that will hopefully last a while in people's heads and hearts, what you end up doing is you end up putting together a variety of cases or points, if you will, to substantiate what you're trying to say so that you're giving people a reason to think what you want them to think or believe what you want them to believe based upon evidence, right? Based upon something that they can put their money on, that this is the way it is. So this morning, I'm saying to you, here's my topic. Here's my subject. God needs you. God needs you. But my first point in trying to convince you of that is this: God doesn't need anything. I thought to myself, I've got to say this, but it's totally counterintuitive to what I'm trying to convince you of. Point number one is about God needing you is God doesn't need anything. One of the things you first learn about God in kind of what I'll call theology 101 is that God is self-existent, self-sufficient, and self-sustaining. He doesn't need anyone. He doesn't need anything. He's not needy. He's not like us in that way. It's those words that you may have heard somewhere along the way in your church journey, that idea of being omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, and always there. God doesn't need anything. Which makes what I'm about to say to you this morning all the more impactful. The fact that God doesn't need anything brings me to this second point is God, I wanted to give you this verse here. It's in Acts 17. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven. This is Paul trying to make sense of to some people of who God is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. But this point about God not needing anything makes my second point all the more incredible. Listen to this. God decided to need you. God decided to need you. In his sovereignty, in his self-sufficiency and all that stuff, God decided and determined that he needed you. That is mind-blowing when you stop and think about it for a minute. The God who needs nothing decided or chose to need us. Wow. That's crazy. To decide means to make a final choice or judgment about something or someone. Now, I want to illustrate this in a way that I think you'll be able to relate to. It's similar, but not altogether the same. In this room here this morning are many married couples, right? And so at some point in your life, you said, you know, I like her, she likes me, we're gonna become a unit, right? We're going to become, in the Bible, it talks about it in terms of marriage. And marriage says that when a man and a woman decide to come together in a covenant relationship like that, that Paul said it this way, he borrowed a passage from the Old Testament. He said, they become as though they're one flesh with each other, one unit, one entity with each other, right? Are you with me? Yeah. Right. Okay. I know marriage is starting to get fuzzy out there, so I just want to make sure we're all clear about it here. So that's how the Bible presents the idea, right? Like they're together in this thing, right? They're locked on. For my purposes this morning, I want you to think about that. At some point along the way, many married couples say, you know what? It's time for us to have children. Now, that married couple, please understand what I'm about to say. That married couple did not need to have children. Hello? In fact, when your children get a little bit older, you say, why did we do this? Can you remind me again why we went this direction, right? But for all intents and purposes, that married couple is like self-existing, self-sustaining, self-sufficient. They can do life without children, right? But at some point, they decide to need kids. and they step out and begin having children. In a very much similar way, that's what God did. He said, you know, I don't need anything. I'm good. But he decided to need us. And so he made man, right? Hello? He made man. And that, you know, just started a whole thing there. He did not need us. He decided to need us. That's amazing. Here's a verse for you. God decided in advance to choose us before the creation of the world. Wow. That's a big verse right there. And so I've got up here for you Genesis 1 and 2. You all know the creation story, if you don't, it's in the very beginning of the Bible. But God makes man, and then after having made man, he says to man, he takes Adam, he places him in the garden, and he said, would you please take care of this place for me? Would you please rule over it? Would you please work it and take care of this place? Now, I don't think, this is my own belief, I don't think that God was too tired from creating everything that he didn't have the energy to somehow take care of a garden he had made. Right? It wasn't like, oh, I'm just so exhausted. I need you to do this. Right? Take care of this thing. I'm burnt out. Right? No. He gave Adam something to do because he needed it to be done. Are you there? Now, we fast forward just a little bit in chapter 2. God, it says there in chapter 2 that God caused all the animals to pass by Adam, and he was to give each one of them a name. Again, I don't think it was because God was too burnt out from doing all of his work that he didn't have any more creativity left to somehow name each one of the animals. I think that he did that because he chose and decided to need Adam to do something. And so here comes, you know, he could have said to Adam, hey, Adam, come over here. He said, you see that thing coming with the big ears and the really long nose on it? I call that an elephant. But he didn't. He said, Adam, I need you to name the animals. Would you do that? Could you take responsibility to give each one of these creation of mine a name? And so Adam did. And you know, I think Adam came up with some really cool names, right? Like, I think he did. Like for the eagle, is that a cool name or what? Right? I know some of you are saying right now, hey, he actually thinks Adam spoke English and actually said the word. No, I don't think that. Just follow with me here. I honestly don't believe that. But anyways, so I think eagle is a really cool name. I think other type of birds' name are like really cool as well, like falcon and hawk, and like they kind of fit, right? Right? They just are. They're team names, right? Yes. Go Falcons, go Eagles, go Hawks. You know, they just got some oomph to them. But apparently, yeah. I was going to say, apparently, Adam towards the end started getting a little tired, right? His creativity juices were starting to run out. What are we going to call that? That's a blackbird. That right there, that's a black. Well, what's that one? That's a blue one right there. A bluebird right over there. That's a bluebird. He might have gotten so tired that his eyes started to close from the sleepiness of doing all this work that he couldn't even see him anymore. And he says, humming, humming, hummingbird. Right? Okay, so here's my point. My point is, God decided to need Adam. And he gave Adam some things to do. You can see this all throughout history, all throughout biblical history for sure. Like at one point, God said, you know, I want to have a nation I can call my own. I want to have a people I can call my own. And so he went to a guy by the name of Abram and said, you know what? I'm choosing you. I'm choosing you to be the one through whom I will work through to produce a nation for myself. Abram and Sarai at that point. Could God have brought that about a different way? I'm sure he could have. He's very creative. But he chose to need Abram and Sarai to bring that about. If you fast forward a little bit in the Bible, you come to a guy by the name of Moses. And God chose Moses to be the one that he would partner with and need to go and help get his people, his chosen nation, the people of his choosing, to get them out of their dilemma in a foreign country and out of slavery and out of bondage and eventually into a place, a land that he was bringing them as their own. Could God have done it another way without using the instrument of a human being to bring about the deliverance of Israel? No sweat. But he decided to need a man. If you fast forward a little bit more, when it actually came time for them to go into that promised land that God had chosen for them, a land that had abundance beyond what they could imagine, but it also had some enemies in it. It also had some giants in the land that they had to deal with. Could God have dealt with them in a way? Could he have, you know, just opened up heaven and the giants were gone? Absolutely. But at that moment in time, he chose a couple guys by the name of Joshua and Caleb to be his partners in seeing the people of Israel actually not just access, but occupy the chosen land that he had set aside for them. God, all throughout history, has been deciding to need people, deciding to need them, deciding to need you, deciding to need me to do what he needs to be done. When Israel was looking for a king, they decided to handpick somebody to lead them like the other nations were led in the world. Now, could God have led them himself? Not only could God have led himself, they should have let God lead them himself. But they would have none of that. And so God chose for himself. He decided to need a man by the name of David. And he worked with David, and he raised up David to end up becoming, even in Israel's own words, their greatest leader of all time. God decided to need him. A little bit later on, if you're following with me, you get to the prophets in the Old Testament, and Israel found itself in another in another bad place, and God needed somebody. He needed this somebody to go and speak the words to them that he needed spoken. And at that moment in time, in that moment in history, a guy by the name of Isaiah, God came to him and spoke to him. And the Lord's saying things like, who shall I send? Who can I send out there? And at that moment, Isaiah offered himself and he said, Lord, if you need somebody to send, send me. I will be your mouthpiece. I will be your spokesman. I will do what you need to be done. Choose me. And he did. God chose, he decided to need Isaiah to speak the prophetic word to Israel at that point in history. There's a verse here in Ezekiel that kind of really advances this idea for us. He said, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. This is another point in history. He said, I need somebody. I need somebody to do what I need to be done. I'm looking for him. And at that moment in time, it's like, there's nobody available. If you turn to the New Testament, you can see this same thing. God, we just went through the season of Christmas, right? God decided to choose and need a young woman to bring his heavenly son to earth. Could God have done that another way? Yeah, no problem. But he chose to need Mary. God chose to need some shepherds who he could announce this arrival to and who they could witness it and then go forth and proclaim what God had done. He decided to need some wise men who would travel 1,000 miles from where their home was to prophetically come to Jerusalem, to Israel, and prophetically declare that Jesus Christ was king. He needed them. He needed them to do that. Could Jesus have walked planet Earth by himself, speaking at public events and doing what he did? Yes, he could have. But he chose to partner with 12 men, 12 rough men. Can I say that? 12 men who needed Celebrate Recovery, right? They all needed Celebrate Recovery, right? As we all do. He picked 12 Celebrate Recovery candidates to partner with. A little bit later on in the book of Acts, God said, I need somebody who will go and tell the rest of the world, apart from Israel, to tell the rest of the world about what I've done and what I'm doing. So it was this guy, a very unlikely candidate, a guy who was actually bringing havoc to what Christians there were at that moment. God decided to need him. Are you there? He decided to need him. Could he have done it another way? Absolutely. He could have sent down angels, hosts of angels, to deliver the information. He had done it before, right? But he decided to get this guy by the name of Saul, work a transformation in his heart, switch his name to Paul, and Paul ends up being the one to deliver the gospel, him and some others, to the rest of the world. At that time, God has always been, he doesn't need anything, but he decided to need us. He decided to work with us to do what he needs to be done. Now, some of you may be saying right now, well, you know, you just went through a list of people that are like, they're in the Hall of Fame in the Bible. You know, they're like the big dudes, you know. If you knew me, if you knew, if Pastor, if you knew who I was, I don't know why God would need me. I don't bring anything to the table. Listen, please read the backstory to all of those people I just mentioned, because they were a work under progress, right? But I want to take you back to the story of Moses for a minute, because some of you are asking me, why does he have a broom handle in his hand? Why does he have a mop handle? What's the mop handle about? When God went to Moses because he needed Moses, there's this interesting question that shows up several times in that whole scene and story. He said, Moses, what is that in your hand? Says, just a staff. For our purposes, it's a stick. It's a stick that Moses was tending sheep when God first approached him. And so he needed that. He needed that to do what a shepherd does in trying to lead his sheep. And he asked Moses, he said, what is that in your hand? And the obvious answer is, it's a staff, it's a stick. As that story advances, God asks him that question several more times. What is that in your hand? And you see, I look at it this way. God takes the ordinary of our lives and wants to use that ordinary for super ordinary stuff. Because that staff ended up becoming used by God to demonstrate his power and glory to those who need to see it. You see, Moses said, I got the staff. But then he says to God, but I can't, listen, you got the wrong guy. I don't public speak. I don't get up in front of people. I stutter. My projection isn't all that great. We all come up with all kinds of excuses, don't we? Hello? We all come up with all kinds of excuses. I can't do that. I can't do that. And we immediately, when we do that, we start disqualifying ourselves. Right? We start to say, I got this and I got that. I got I need Celebrate Recovery. I can't do anything. Right? I don't even have that in my notes, none of that. That was just working off of what we talked about this morning. In essence, God told Moses, all I need you to do, here's all I need you to do. I just need you to go where I tell you to go. Make sure you got the staff with you, the stick with you. And just, and in fact, listen, Moses, I'm going to get your brother. Aaron, come over here. We're not going to let this thing stand in the way. Listen, you talk, right? So Moses is like, what it comes down to basically is, Moses, just bring the stick. Just show up with the stick. No, I'm serious. Right? All I really need you to do is this go do what I'm asking you to do and bring the stick with you. That's all. That's it. I'll get this other guy to talk. Just bring the stick. No, that's the story. For real. And I'm like, that's all I got to do? I just got to go where you're telling me to go and show up with the stick? I can do that. And if you know that story, God took care of the rest. He did the supernatural stuff. All Moses had to do was just bring the stick. Show up with the stick. And we're good. I really think that's all God's asking of us. To show up. Just go Just go where I'm at telling you to go. Do what you do. And, you know, God would ask us today, what is that in your hand? Just bring it. Just bring it with you. I'll do the other stuff. You don't have to worry about, you know, sending masses of flies and hailstones and, you know, you don't worry about that. You don't have to do that. Just bring the stick. Just bring what I put in your hand. Just bring it with you. And when we just bring who God has made us to be, and we bring that to the table, God can handle it from there. He needs us. He needs us. He needs you where you work. He needs you where you live. He needs you living next door to the people you live next door to. He needs you to be the person who shows up at the places that you show up. He needs you to be there. And listen, I'm just telling you this morning, I'm freeing you up. All you got to do is be there and bring the stick. And believe him to do the other stuff. But he needs you. See, if you're not there, you're not there. If Moses wouldn't have went, God would still be up in heaven saying, I'm looking for someone to send, and I can't find anybody. And I wonder, in our modern day moment, I'm wondering how many times God still says that. I'm looking for somebody who will build a wall and stand in the gap. You know, you read this thing here, and it's like, okay, what is it looking for? Okay, is this looking for a guy to build a wall, apparently, and stand in the gap? Okay, I got to show up. I got to start putting some stuff together, stand in the gap, and he'll take care of the rest. A week ago Saturday, we had a lovely celebration service here for Faye, our sister Faye, our to some grandmother, mother, whatnot, sister Faye. You know what? She's a great example of just showing up and bringing a stick. What I mean by that is that during that service, there were multiple people who remembered Faye through their words. And in the process of doing that, you know, it's like Faye didn't carry a banner like, hey, I'm here, you know, I'm here. Let me everybody make sure you see I'm here. I'm here, you know, I'm here. You want to talk? I'm here. No. Faye just showed up and brought the stick. And that made all the difference in the world for a whole bunch of people. Now, I want to close with this. My third point. Point number one was, doesn't need anything. Make sure you got that. God doesn't need anything. Point number two, he decided to need us. And point number three is, have you decided to be needed by God? I want to close with a passage of Scripture that probably in the way that I'm going to talk about it is different than you've ever heard it talked about before. It's in Luke chapter 10. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. if you haven't, I just want to say for anybody here today, if you haven't opened your home to Jesus, you please do that. Just open up your heart, open up your life to him. Make him feel welcomed in your world. Hello? Yes. It says, she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what Jesus was saying. Everybody, you've heard this story before? Okay. Let's go to the next part. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came and asked him, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Are you there? Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. One of the first points that I was making to you this morning is that we are all needy people. And one of the needs that we have is to be needed. I look at this passage and I say to myself, self, could this story really be about how people go about feeling needed? Did I lose anybody? 'Cause isn't it so true that you and I spend a lot of energy and effort doing stuff to try to feel like we're useful? But I don't know about you, I know about me. Sometimes I find myself in that place of feeling that, and I'm like, I'm frustrated. I'm upset because now I feel like, okay, I've got this need to be needed, right? Wanted, feeling like I'm being useful, valuable, so forth and so on. And I'm busy doing all this stuff, but in the end, I'm burning myself out trying to feel this way. Hello? And Jesus says to Martha, listen, what Martha was doing was awesome. She opened her home to Jesus. That's good. That's a good thing. She's doing the culturally hospitable thing to do. She's getting him some grub. She's doing what you would naturally do for a guest that just came to your home. But it's interesting what Jesus said, that Mary was the one thing, did the one thing that was needed. Now, here's the twist on this. So often we think, whenever I think about this passage, I think, you know, oh, Mary was there and just, you know, basking in Jesus' presence and so on, which is true. All that's true. Remember, God said, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a woman who will do what I need to be done. Could it be that the one thing that was needed by Jesus? While Mary's busy over here, or Martha's busy over here doing all this stuff, trying to think, oh, if I do this, if I do that, he'll really like this. Oh, wait till he sees what I brew up. Ah! And Jesus is saying, no, I need to talk to you about something. I need to talk to you about something. And he was just looking for somebody whom he could talk to, who would listen to what was on his heart. Hello? The one thing that's seen. She's saying, I'm not, hey, listen, knock yourself out over there. I'm not hungry right now. I just want to sit and talk with some people. I might even tell them about how they can really help me. So it's kind of like, am I going to satisfy my need to be needed through trying to do all this stuff over here, or simply going before the Lord and saying, what's on your heart? What can I do that in your view of things would be the most effective? And remember what Jesus said, what I give you to do won't kill you. Just bring the stick. Show up and bring the stick. What I ask you to do, my yoke is not heavy. It's not, you're not going to be laboring and killing yourself and trying to knock yourself out. No, just show up and bring the stick. But it doesn't change the fact that he needs us. Mary chose the right thing because she chose to find out what was on his heart. I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now. There's two sides of this thing that I really want to pray for this morning. One, for those of you who feel like you have been striving to please Jesus and, you know, you're just, you know, you're frustrated with all that. I feel like the Lord wants to say to you, please don't complicate this thing more than it needs to be. Just, all I'm asking is that you just do what I ask you to do, is bring yourself to the table and I'll take care of the rest. For those of us who are, you know, go-getters, type A personality, you know, it's so hard to stop fussing over the dinner and just go and just be with Jesus. But the other side of the coin is, you know, those that are here today who you have, your theology has been so unbalanced. You know, you believe in God, you know who God is, and you've tasted of him and so forth and so on. But your theology is so unbalanced, you say, God doesn't need anything. That means he doesn't need me. So you've chosen to not engage in you know, meaningful service to the Lord because you either just don't understand your value, or you just thought that God will, he'll just do it all. He's big and he can handle it. And I say to you this morning, I feel like the Lord is saying to you, that individual, that person, I need you. I need you. So Father, wherever any of us are at in this room right now, I pray that we will be like Isaiah who said, Lord, here I am. That we will be like Moses that despite all his excuses and despite his hesitancy, he said, all right, if you need me to go and I'll bring the stick with me. Lord, it's incredible that I'm standing here this morning knowing at least in part who you are, to think that you would partner with us, the very people who have done a pretty good job making a mess of the things that you've given us to do, that you would still want to partner with us to bring your kingdom to bear in this earth. But I'm glad you have, because really, our souls will find their most relevance and satisfaction when we understand how much we're loved by you, and when we understand that you do truly, you decided to need us. That's what you put us on planet Earth here for, because you want to work through us to bring about your bidding in the earth. I'm wondering, would you just, wherever you're seated right there, would you just express to the Lord your availability to him by just holding out your arms to him, by just saying, Lord, I'm available. I'm available. I hear you need people. I hear you need me. Like Isaiah, I'm just saying, Lord, here I am. Send me. And I'll bring my stick. I'll bring my stick. I'll bring my stick. Lord, we say to you this morning, we're glad to know you need us, but Lord, we're here this morning choosing to need you, choosing to be needed by you. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Let us know today, tomorrow, the day after that, what is on your heart, so that we can be at work doing what is on your heart, which may or may not necessarily be what's on our heart. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.